Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very senior and a very, very accomplished advertising media person, Shan Jain. Shan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Shan is currently the Chief Strategy Officer of Madison Media. She has worked with almost all major advertising companies, and she has over 350 awards credited to her. Shan, what an amazing journey you seem to have had. Tell me about your early work. How did you get into advertising and some of your learnings?
So I started in 1992. I was out of operations research, my master's in operations research. Before that, I'd done like master's in my graduation in mathematics. Mm-hmm. And I started with Ogilvy. I must tell you that it was a great place to start for a left brain, right brain person like me, you know, kind of uses both sides. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about Ogilvy is that they had a 6 months job training, on the job training, where you had to give an exam at the end of the 6 months in media, creative, production, whatever, copywriting, art, and all that. So it really added immensely to understanding how these wonderful iconic brands are made. Mm-hmm. The nitty-gritties of what goes into making a perfect campaign happen. And that was really good. The other thing about Gilvy was that it was in Jhandewala, which was for me, from coming from South Delhi, it was like a trudge every day that you had to go. But it taught me time management, and it taught me the kind of crazy hours that we have to keep in advertising. And very early in my career, I realized that, yes, this is something I need to manage. So it was a good beginning.
And wasn't David Ogilvy the guy who started that Rolls Royce at 60 miles per hour? The only thing you hear is the ticking of the clock.
Yes, I remember that.
When I was doing my MBA in 77, 79, you know, that was quite a famous line. And then after Ogilvy, what all did you do?
Oh, wow. Okay. So very, very long 28 years that I've had. In hindsight, when I think about it, it's actually, I call it the triple P effect, or the platform purpose and the people effect. My purpose has always been to keep reinventing myself and to keep moving with the times. And I must tell you that I've had extremely good people around me and clients, you know, who have helped me grow at every leg of my career and added back immensely to my professional capability. So way back in 92, like, I started with media planning, and very soon I realized that it was not going to be just media planning. It had to be communications planning. So I opted to move to a creative agency side, join accounts planning, you know, which is the you look at things, you understand insights, and then you understand how you convert those insights into action. So that was a good 7 years I spent with Lintas and with FCB in understanding consumer insights and how to make them actionable. It was, you realize that, you know, different media had different impact on consumers on the buying cycle. So for example, some of them are more to do with sales, and the others are building brand equity. So if you understand the entire ecosystem of media, you realize that integrated planning was becoming very big. Mm-hmm. And this is not something you can just do. You have to lead from the forefront. Mm-hmm. So I headed two agencies, and I kind of started bringing out the whole concept of integrated planning. Then I kind of realized that, you know, a diversity in my portfolio is going to add how I build clients, and how, you know, the client insights and client handling capability. So far I'd only worked on private clients, like private organizations, but I kind of moved to an organization where I would head a very large PSU client. Mm-hmm. And then this was around 2010. By now, I was the only talent which had a, you know, media planning background and communications planning background. So I was handpicked by GroupM to head the Unilever account in Mumbai. And in fact, that was also very good, because that added to the, you know, difference in the professional way of handling things, whether Delhi versus Mumbai. It's a very different culture of how do you handle clients. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 years ago, business transformation was becoming a buzzword, and every client was looking at digital transformation. So I was leading that from Delhi. I came back to Delhi for that. And now, of course, CSO, which is like you're looking after key strategic alliances, and you know we have a product which is outcomes based. Okay. So it's been a great journey, and I think I've really been able to live up to my purpose of reinventing with the times.
Amazing. So, you know, Shan, you know, when I started, I was involved in the launch of Sundrop Oil with ITC. The most popular man used to be the advertising manager of ITC, because he was invited to every party. And, you know, we all used to wonder, how do we get invited to all these parties? Then many years later, I saw Mad Men, the serial, and it was an amazing kind of an exposure to the world of advertising. My question to you is advertising in India similar?
Okay, so very broadly speaking, it is the same. Socializing is extremely important, and it is a lot of decisions get taken informally over a drink or a coffee, or, you know, but some things have changed. Mad Men days, you know, belong to the creative agency, where you have to create a good piece of advertising and then place it on a few channels or programs like Ramayan, Mahabharat, Hum Log, etc. And then that was it, your job was done. Now the medium is the message, and because of the complexity that increases the accountability of the agency, you know. So the same amount of money has much lesser ROI, and the same amount of money has to be spread across various media like TV, digital, print, out of home. So the job of the agency is more complex than just simple media buying, you know. Right. And I guess what I'm saying is the socializing is important, but it's not enough. Like, you know, you may have great relationships, but if you're not doing delivering, then it's a cause of concern.
Wonderful. So, and, you know, over the years, you know, you've spent close to 3 decades in advertising. How have customer expectations changed from an agency?
Okay, so customers have themselves changed today, you know. The choices are so many, and marketing has led to the emergence of so many categories. So it may not have changed for a detergent, but it's definitely changed for food delivery or food tech. And I keep referring to the marketing funnel, like, you know, so for a detergent, it may be still the top funnel where we are looking at more awareness and getting more consumers into the foray. But when you're talking about food technology or food delivery, it's definitely mid funnel and bottom funnel where you're talking about more engagement and more sales led activities that you will do. So it's a gamut of marketing and advertising, and its expectation from media agencies itself has changed because of the emergence of the new categories.
Right. Very true. And, you know, you spoke a little bit about, you know, the mix of media that's available, and that really is my next question. For a long time, it was print and TV. But now, a lot of digital platforms have come in. So how are the traditional platforms of print and TV adapting to the digital platforms?
A very interesting question. So, you know what, till pre-COVID, some time ago, the statistics said that consumers are spending actually more time and over many more media. So they were just spending more time in media, actually. But now COVID has actually pushed us into more the TV digital space, right? So that's the exterior environment challenge. Like, it's not like something that you've had to deal with. Right. And but if you look at the numbers, the way they work, the analytics as to what they say, it's TV lends itself very well to a digital. So on their own, they will not survive. Independently, that will not be too much of an ROI. The ROI enhances dramatically when it's a TV plus digital. So TV is not going to die. Also, because, you know, I mean, look at the media. It's India as a country. TV's penetration is far, far higher than what digital. As of now, I mean, we're not talking about maybe a couple of years down the line it might change, but as of now, it's far more. So TV is not going to go away in a hurry. Yeah, it's definitely there to stay. Also, the kind of visual imagery, the kind of brand equity, all of that is built better with TV. So, interestingly, you know, there are these brands which are digital first brands. They also at some time, like Nykaa, for example, or for, you know, some of these brands which have been born on digital, they also after a point of time realize that we cannot do customer acquisition if you're just going to be on digital. Right. So it's like they work in tandem. It's in sync. I think print will definitely have to find a more meaningful role. Unfortunate for the, you know, medium that it was hit very badly because of all the rumors that were getting spread about, you know, print carrying the virus with it, and so a lot of people stopped getting the newspaper home. But now it's slowly coming back, so we have some statistics that it's about 60% back. But yes, it is impacted for sure.
And, you know, that old line again about advertising, that only 50% of advertising works, nobody knows which 50%. with the kind of spend that's coming in social media, nobody seems to know how much of social media spend is actually working. So what are your thoughts on what is going to happen to advertising and social media and all the money that's being blown up in social media?
Okay, so see, the thing is, advertisers go where consumers go, okay? And if I were to give you some numbers, for every, let's say, 3 minutes that are spent on TV, 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes are spent on digital and 1.5 minutes are spent on social. So you need to understand this, that it is definitely, the consumers are definitely there on the media. Now, how we use those consumers is the understanding that we need to develop and hone in into the plans that we make. So the other thing which is there about, you know, which is an insight into consumers, is that they don't like being marketed to. You know, so actually this is what led to the emergence of social media, where you could completely cut to the chase from discovery to buy. And depending on the circle of influence that you are in, whether it's a Facebook or a Twitter or Instagram, you would, you know, the category would be able to advertise to you directly and more meaningfully. Now, all of this lends itself very beautifully to us advertisers, because we are able to now target better. And measure it, definitely measure it. The problem lies in the fact that we have walled gardens. So Facebook will have its own measurement techniques, and Instagram will be there together, but like, yeah, they'll have their own ways of measurement, and they, we are often not able to share the two data pipes, you know, or to get the two data pipes together.
Okay.
So that's where the issue rises. But of course, it's definitely more measurable now.
Wonderful. So my next question is on young people and millennials in advertising. Part one of the question is, are young people really coming into advertising as a career? And part two, how are millennials as customers changing advertising?
Yeah, very, very good question. Yes, definitely young people are coming into advertising as a career. I think a lot is definitely the creative side, for sure, because they think more freely, they think more innovatively. But even in the media side, because there's a lot more science that is added to the art of advertising. And with more data, with more technology coming into advertising, yes, it is clearly something that young people are seeing as a career. But I would say that, you know, the millennials, if you look at, there was a study done by a consulting company, I'm forgetting the name, which said that the millennials are actually a poorer generation than their previous generation.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are, in some sense, cleaning the mess that the previous generation has, you know, done. Yeah, left behind. And in a lot of ways, they are more interested in doing the right thing, as opposed to accumulating capital or wealth. Right. So if you look at their two polarities, on the one hand, they are seeking more authentic stuff. And on the other hand, they are seeking great technology, yeah, to enhance them, live their life better. These are really two different. So authenticity on one hand and polarity and technology on the other hand. So they are forcing companies to be far more authentic and in the very least run after sustainability. And so they are the ones who are responsible for shopping locally as a culture that is coming up, right? And on the other hand, they are forcing companies to be technologically enabled, and they're the ones who are responsible again for e-commerce to come into to India in a big way, like, you know, they're pushing the boundaries. So yes, it's clear that they are making business change in a big way, influencing.
Very interesting. So Shana, I'm going to move to something I was reading in when you about you, and you spoke about your belief in the Ubuntu saying, "I am because we are."
Yeah.
Help me understand this and how this applies to your work and to you maybe.
Thank you. So basically Ubuntu is, it essentially means that my vision of success is includes a lot more people than just me.
Correct.
Okay, so I do believe that we live in a very interdependent world, and that nothing that you do is just a function of yourself. It is a lot of forces playing around you, which help you move in a direction, and you've got to harness all those forces in a particular way. But while you're doing that, you've got to keep in mind that it's in their, you know, they also need to be happy doing what they're doing if they're doing something for you. So it's their success as well, which is important. And unless you see them being successful, you yourself are not going to be successful. I mean, something or the other will go wrong, right? So I do believe that I am, because we are. And I must tell you that as a woman professional, you know, very early in life, I had realized that I want to be in this for a very long, for the long run, right? And one of my success mantras has been to co-opt a good support system around me. Because unless I am able to focus myself and my energies on work single-mindedly, you know, you don't get the end result, right? So you need to have those fallback options. You need to have a good job list, which is always like, you know, you can free your mind of all the other things that are happening around you. And a good set of people. I had literally at one point of time when my daughter was growing up, I had three layers of dependency, like not this, then this, not this, then this, you know. So if you have that thinking, you've got to realize that it's not just your own doing. It is a whole lot of people around you, and in their success lies your success. Yeah. And this is the same principle I apply even at work. So it's the team that brings together a perfect product. And so you need to look after their needs as well for you to be able to go forward.
Very interesting. And your comment gives me a segue into my next question, which is, you know, you said you're a woman at work, and I ask all my women guests about gender balance. I ask all my men guests as well. But advertising is one of the few professions where women have made it right to the top from many, many years ago.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, gender balance is now becoming very fashionable and being talked about, but advertising has always had women and at senior positions around the world. My question to you is that in India, what can be done to correct and improve the gender balance in the corporate world?
Okay, so again, very good question. I say that a lot more people are coming into work now, especially in the millennials. Women are getting out and working, so that is a force that is happening any which way. But it's a force that we need to develop. I think at the inception itself, there is a change in your mindset that you are not going to do a job; you are actually going to build a career. Right, that itself has to change, because when you're just doing a job, it's like the present moment. But when you're looking at building a career, you've got to have a little vision of the future, and then you've got to kind of pull back and see, what am I doing today in order for me to go there tomorrow, right? So that itself has to change a little bit. And I think overall, the whole concept of, you know, the affluence changing, the whole concept of, you are so much more confident when you are a working woman, because you have the, you know, the ability to stand on your own 2 feet.
Correct.
Those are some very ground level changes that need to be brought about in the mindset. I mean, I must tell you that I do a lot of work in the area of building the whole self-mastery for women. I have a personal belief that, or a mission that I want to enable at least 1 million women in my lifetime towards personal mastery. And I do a lot of work other than my profession in that area. Like, I hold some workshops and stuff, all in that space. And when you end up a workshop after that, definitely it adds a lot of confidence in women.
Fantastic. Lushana, I've got some time now for a few personal questions for you. My first question is that, you know, we've all had people who have influence on our lives. Are there people who have had an influence on your life? And if yes, what have you learned from them? You know, give me 2 or 3 such examples.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. As a person, I look for good attributes in people. and I assimilate that into me. And it's not just one individual, but I look at goodness everywhere. Okay, so, but I will tell you that there have been certain people who have influenced me. To start with, of course, my mom. There was a time in my career as well when my daughter was born that I was kind of like, yeah, I just want to chuck it and I just want to be with her. And, you know, the usual guilt and the usual concerns that you go with. And she sat me back and she said, you know what, your work is not just about making the money and adding confidence. It's a lot more. It adds the social circle in your life. It gives you the opportunity to add so much value in other people's lives. You know, so don't think of it as just something that you are doing. You're doing this because there's a lot of other things that are happening as a function of your time investment in your job. So find a way to do it all, you know, just don't give up. And I think that was one of the biggest like pushback I got when I was kind of, you know, like faltering and kind of, yeah. So that's been one very big person who has influenced me. And my mom and I have this very hate-love relationship, but she's like perfect for pushing me and pushing my buttons. So that's definitely there. And of course, one of my core beliefs is that if the process is right, the outcome will always be right, whatever it is, you know. So I keep looking for the best way to do things. And that's, again, something that you can pick up from anyone. Like, you know, whoever is good at their job and doing it in a way which is really good, I'll pick that up.
Right. Very interesting. So I have time for now, I think, one more question. And I'm trying to choose which one to ask you, but I'm going to ask you this one. If you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, and I'm going to change the word from children to girls because you spoke of, you know, a million girls that you...
Yeah.
What would you, Shan, change in yourself?
Yeah, I think I would certainly say that you need to take ownership of the kind of work that you do. There's a lot that women do silently, which they don't take ownership of. And, you know, it's just that, oh, this is something that I ought to do. But no, you need to be able to speak about it, to first of all recognize it in yourself and then to be able to speak about it. And so whenever there is a spotlight on you, I would say don't shy away from it. You know, I've done that in my past. Like I've been fairly complacent about not getting into the spotlight, but I definitely would recommend that, yes, go ahead and take the spotlight. You don't have to go and find it, but like, yeah, whenever it is on you, don't shy away from it.
Very well said. You know, I have so much more to ask you, but unfortunately, we run out of time. So, Shan, thank you very much. This has been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I wish you lots of success in advertising and whatever, and particularly with the million girls you are talking about.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Lovely being on your show.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.